I am going to give a disclaimer that the next little piece here is beyond what I really understand. Along with most of the Sefer, but this particularly, I think, is a new level of, you know, it's very, very deep stuff here. And you need a real background in Kabbalah to understand what's going on here fully. So we're going to use terminology that we probably don't really understand fully, but it's just the terminology of it. And then we'll go from there. So we talked about how in Perek Yudalid, or in middle Yudalid, about how not only do your actions reach high, not only does your dibur reach high, but also your machshava reaches a very high level in terms of its impact on the surroundings. And it says, the pasuk in Mishlei, Hashem bechachma yasar eretz, Hashem koinen shemayim betvuna, bidaitoi tohimoiz nivka'u. So there's three levels, and that's the three worlds that are affected by our actions. Okay, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the worlds, and then it says, "Bni al yulzu me'einecha." These worlds should not be yulzu, which he says means they should not be, destroyed from your machshava. Me'einecha means from your machshava. Ve'ilu ashloisha b'chinais, and these three areas, ma'ase dibur machshava. Right, ma'isa, action, dibor, and machshava. Hein klala b'chinas ha'pninyas shel adam. This incorporates every action of a person. Shem ha'shlosha b'chinas nefesh, ruach, neshama. This we spoke about is nefesh, ruach, neshama. And then he says, by the way, that the nefesh, ruach, and the neshama of the person, which are all kochos, that the nefesh, ruach, neshama of the person, again, just like we've been saying, that there's certain manifestation of the Ratzon Hashem. And as the Ratzon Hashem gets concretized in the world, it becomes more physical, right? So like we said that, there was a Hashpa, Ratzon Hashem of Toiv, and then it became more physicalized to eventually, you know, in this world it looks a certain way. So the Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama are really three parts of the person's Neshama. As they become more and more incorporated into the person and more physicalized in the person, because in Reb Chaim Volozhiner's whole setup, which is really the definition of in the Kabbalistic sense, a person is just a miniature world. So whatever's going on in the world is going on in the person. So just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he makes a ratzon, it goes through forms in the world until eventually it becomes more physical. In the neshama, the person is the same way. So we have three levels of neshama. We have a level of neshama, which is the pure neshama. That's the connection to the Kalalis Nafshas Yisrael. That's the neshama itself, which we'll see exactly where that resides. Then, as it becomes more inside the person, it becomes the ruach, which then, again, we said neshama is purely spiritual, so it controls machshava. There's no physical element to it. But the ruach is the dibor, which is kind of the in-between. It's the mouth. And then the nefesh is once it becomes more internalized in the person, becomes more physicalized, and that gives a koch for action, for ma'isa. Okay? So, and that's why, by the way, you could find that a person can lose individual senses, you know, before they lose their own ability to move or whatever. But anyway, so he says, where do these three elements reside in the person? So he says, the ma'isa, the neshama, the nefesh of the person is in the blood. That's the physical place where it resides. As it says, a nefesh hu adam, adam hu a nefesh. So that's the nefesh of the person. That goes into the whole body. That's, you know, spread out to the whole body. The dibor resides in the mouth, in the lave, right? In the lave. And from the lave, it comes out. And the machshava resides in the moach. But we're going to see in the next parak that it doesn't actually mean that. Okay? Now, the next concept I'm going to say, I have no clue what I'm saying. But I'm just going to say it because he understands, I think, of Chaim, that we're not going to have any clue. And the reason I have a feeling he knew that we were going to have no clue about this is because he gives a mashal. So he was giving a mashal, and then what he's trying to say is that the concept for itself is very difficult to understand. I'm going to give you a mashal so that you could understand it in a little bit more of a physical way and assume that what I'm telling you, you're physicalizing it, but really it exists in a spiritual way. Okay, so here's the mashal he gives, and it's a mashal based on Chazal. Okay, neshama, the word neshama comes to the word nishima. This is already in Perek Tesvav. Okay, this is in Perek Tesvav. Neshama comes from the word nishima, a breath. Okay, so that means that the neshama is really the breath of a Kadosh Baruch Hu breathing life into us. Okay, now he says like this. He says that imagine that I am a glass blower, right? A mizagig, we say in Yom Kippur, that pia today. So he says a glass blower, himshilu chazal, inyan hishtal shalos haruah chayim ba'adam lasiyas kli zchuchas. Okay? It's like this. A glass blower, there's three things you need to make glass. You need the glob of glass that you're going to shape. You're going to shape it with the blow, with the air. You need the little stick, the straw that you stick in your mouth and you stick inside the kli. And then you blow and it blows the air into the kli and it starts shaping it however you're going to shape the glass, right? And then you have the air that you're blowing in from yourself into the straw that goes into the glass. Yeah, correct? Okay. So he says that really the neshama of the person goes through these steps. We are like the glass. We're like the glob of glass that needs to be formed and shaped by the neshama. So the air has to go into us. It's got to go in and do. The air has got to go into the person and fill up the entire person, basically, right? It's got to fill up the entire person with just like the glass fills up the air fills up the entire glass. But before you do that, you got to collect the air and then blow it out. So the air, before it gets blown out from the person into the tube, the person had collected that air, right? So here's the question. That air, is that part of the person or is that not part of the person? I collected this air. Is that like an existence? Is that a metzias outside the person, or is that a metzias that's inside the person, or part of the person? So the answer is it's part of the person, but it's on its way out, right? It's part of the person, but it's part of the person which he's planning on exhaling, right? So basically, he says the mashal is like this: the neshama, our neshama, went through that process. And it went through the process of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midilei nafach. He blew out kaviyachol from himself into us, but he do it through a tube. Okay? And he's blowing it into us. So he says that the three levels of neshama that we have, the nefesh, the ruach, and the neshama, is the process that air takes as it leaves HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the straw into the guf. Those are those three levels. The air itself, while it's inside Kaviyachol, that air, then it goes through a tube, then it gets into the person. So he says those three levels are these three levels. The neshama is when it's still inside a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not really inside the person. And here Reb Chaim is mechadish something, which, again, this I don't know what it means. But the neshama is not really inside the person. The neshama is connected to the person. Because really the neshama is still inside Hashem. Just like the air is still inside the glass blower before he exhales. So, however...
When you can call chelek elokav mima'al?
Yes. It's exactly. It's chelek elokav mima'al. It's still mima'al. And we're connected to it. Then he says the bechina, as it becomes more physicalized, it left HaKadosh Baruch Hu and it went into the straw. When the air is in the straw, so it's part of both, right? it's a little bit physical, it's a little bit spiritual, it's on its way out, it's on its way in, it's has already left the person to take on a life of its own. So now but it's not completely physicalized yet because it's not inside the kli, right? She says that's the gather of ruach. That's when the neshama is the bechina of ruach, because it's a lot more physicalized. It's already entered into the person, but it's by the mouth. It's nishtahe nishtahe. The nefesh is once the air has gotten through the tube and into the person's guf, that's the nefesh. That's already a little more, the air has already become more physicalized and it's taken on shape. And now it's already outside the kli completely, and now it's inside the guf. Okay? And he even says that nefesh is from the word vayinofash, that it rests. Knows the air has come to its resting place. It's not traveling anymore. So this is its final resting point. So now remember, one thing is that the air of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still different than that glass blower because it's a constant nesina of air. Right? Hashem is constantly blowing. It's constant. The air is constantly coming. Hashem is mechadish all the time, giving us new life constantly. Right? It's not a one-time thing. Hashem is constantly giving us life. So Hashem is constantly blowing in that neshama. But what happens is that neshama is the ruach, then the dibor, and then the machshava part are all levels of the neshama having become more physicalized in the nefesh. Then there's the part when it's in the straw that we have shayches to it. But then there's the part that it's outside. Now, if the neshama is outside us, I was listening to a shir on this, and the way the person was explaining it is that it's like makif us. The neshama is like around us, but it's still part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the more a person's connected to it, the more a person will be zoicha to understand things in a more delicate, in a more refined way. It's kind of like, you know, you're like constant. So that really is up to us to decide. When we're living our life, which of the three levels are we connecting to the most? Are we living just with the nefesh part? Okay, look, we have a nefesh and we're physical and we're just going to live with the physical part of it. Or are we going to uplift ourselves a little bit and connect to the ruach, which is really what makes a person special? Or are we even going to be able to lift ourselves up a little bit out of ourselves, a little bit out of our physical guf, and connect to that which is really in a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Okay? Now, he says here in the Sefer that there was only one human being in the history of the world that was ever able to fully connect to the neshama and internalize the neshama and bring it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his guf, or better said, put his guf inside HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, fully unite between him and Hashem. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to become fully united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fully internalize the neshama. Maybe that's why he was able to go into Shemayim for 40 days. His physical body played no role at that point. So he was living in a neshama world. And that was what made Moshe Rabbeinu unique, is that he was able to fully internalize the neshama. So like I said, accurately, I have no clue what I'm talking about. And this is pretty deep stuff. But as a basic overview, that's what he starts touching on in chapter Tezvav here. It's starting to get heavy. But this is what he starts talking about in chapter Tezvav, about, you know, that, you know, we're in between there. So those are the three elements of the neshama. That's how he explains it from a Kabbalistic point of view. And okay, we'll keep it up. Mr. Shem. All right, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.